Are you finishing the fucking God Save the Queen track now as well?
Yeah, play that as well, bro.
Man like Philip.
Anyway, RIP, the great one. Sad time, man. I think DMX crossed over to multiple different to multiple different generations. I think it's good we, even though it's not possible, I think it's good we acknowledge the big man's death, the big dog's death.
I think the fact that, like, even to this day, like, prior to his death, like, he would pop up in your Instagram reels or your TikToks or whatever as being the guy that performed to the entire world. I think it was a footage of him performing at Woodstock in the late 90s or early 2000s. The camera pans around, he's in his red. Overall, the camera pans around and it's just an endless sea of people. I think that's just such an iconic, mad image and video to be captured.
Definitely. Yeah. Man, he was, DMX was a global phenomenon. Like, he was one of the first to do it. My guy was saying, I'll stick a fork in your eye in raps, and still going on stage with white people dancing. Like,
what's wrong with white people dancing?
Well, as in, like, white people don't usually allow people who say, I'm gonna stick a fork into your eye onto their stages. So
whoa, that's a lie. that's very disingenuous. White people love that shit. What do you mean? We've got Eminem, we've got all these heavy metal bands, all like the super like hardcore then.
Well, like, rappers who said that sort of shit usually didn't get that type of mainstream appeal. And
Eminem.
But Eminem's white. Like, DMX broke. I think DMX broke a cultural norm. He's like a fissure in the matrix. Like, that guy's.
I can agree with that.
But anyway, how's everyone doing this week though?
I'm good, man. I was pretty hit by the whole DMX thing as well. It's actually kind of crazy. Like, so many, as you grow older, I feel like so many of the heroes and the people you grew up with are passing away. And it's something you really kind of have to deal with actually in life. And it's a bit weird. Never really consider it when you're younger, innit?
But it's the whole thing of, like, you have created, like, memories that will last you a lifetime through songs or art or whatever that's been created from a person. So whether that be a DMX track, an MF Doom track, whatever, you've created a memory that's associated to it. And for that person who has created that art, in a sense, to move on, it's tough. Yeah, I totally get that.
It's amazing. Like, I remember when I was still, like, DMX is 50, so when would you say his peak was? So say between 2000-2005.
Yeah, 1999 to 2005.
I definitely remember being a younger, like 6, 7, 8, going up into like my uncle's bedroom and seeing like DMX posters on the wall. Like, it's, I would say he's maybe slightly before my generation, but the impact definitely leaked into my generation, where I at least felt that I had to listen to some DMX, like, you know what I mean? Like, Callum was talking about it earlier, like, Callum said he didn't necessarily have that same connection in terms of, like, he knew all the big DMX songs and he was very much aware of who he was, but it maybe didn't go as deep in terms of, like, actual, like, a relationship with an artist, you know? Mm. But it's crazy. I feel like these moments kind of allow you to, like, kind of look back into it and kind of, like, actually realize what a force like certain people were, like, at least in my life anyway, and maybe in the culture as a whole.
He's definitely
in the culture as a whole.
He's a, like, I don't think people realize that he was the first. I know obviously we say Eminem, but he was to me one of the first gangster, like, thug rappers who also was able to show a vulnerable side. He was also able to show that, like, oh, you could actually be, you can be a G and you can still have the full range of emotions. I don't think anyone really sort of, because he spoke about fighting through demons and all the stuff that he had to, all the mental stuff that he had to go through, he put into his rap. So he kind of opened up that lane. And now you see a lot with SoundCloud rappers talking about their pain and depression. But, like, DMX was one of the first that I saw anyway who really spoke about those sorts of things. So, yeah, man.
DMX was praying on albums, like full-on prayers. Like, as someone who went to church, like, it was kind of mad to like listen to a DMX album, hear him saying all the madnesses he was saying. Like, it was very homophobic. But
yeah,
I mean, we can come back to that, but like, it was still crazy that's like someone who grew up in church, like, go listen to some DMX, hear him spitting that real, real gritty urban stuff, and like, hear him like drop a prayer while wearing Timbs. You know what I mean? Like, it was really kind of almost a surreal existence, you know? Like, I don't get how someone can be so, I don't know, such like an open wind, you know? But also kind of so beautiful in that sort of way. Same way, like, if you look at an open wound in a certain angle, it might look like a flower. But maybe I didn't phrase that correctly, but like, it was just so genuine.
That analogy was strong. That was a loose one, mate, but yeah.
Analogy, but like, yo, the real ones will know what I'm saying, innit? The real ones will understand.
Doesn't know which ones you're hanging out with, mate, but to be fair, no, I see where you're coming from, though. I do think he showed like, not to like stay too long with DMX, but he showed like all the ranges of emotions. He was like truly himself. He didn't fit into a gangster rapper. He didn't fit into an emotional rapper. He didn't fit into like he sang. He sang before rappers were singing. Like, he did his own thing and made his own story. So, big shout out to my man. I'll definitely pour a little liquid for him tonight. So
kind of mad he died from an overdose as well. Like,
just... He had problems. No problems. Too much drinking, too much smoking. And on the subject of drinking and smoking, segue. So my man Paul Pierce.
Okay, yes.
Segue away from DMX. Yo. R.I.P. DMX, innit?
R.I.P. DMX, and more like I'll wow. Play a little DMX at the end as well. Hopefully, we don't get taken off.
Hey, so, I did not know where you were going with that segue, but yeah. Fair play.
That was a segue from DMX to Paul
Pierce.
How do we say? To be fair, you're segueing from like quite a heavy topic into.
No, I mean, we can pay our respects and move on. At the end of the day,
yeah, that's how it should be.
It's what it is.
Big shout out to the big man, the greatness. Big dog. But yeah, no, I was. I love the fact that you brought up Paul Pierce last week. I didn't really think about him losing his job. I just thought he was moving a bit wild. But you know what? We're in 2021. People are a little bit more relaxed about smoking weed and strippers.
Not Disney. Not Disney, bro. I mean, I guess he kind of saw it coming. Like,
got fired on his day off. You got fired on your day off.
I can't remember the exact situation last week, but I don't know if it was myself or Nathan or yourself, Derek, that called it. But one of us is like, "Yo, he's gonna get fired," and then someone else was like, "Nah, I don't think that's gonna happen."
No, it was me. I was like, look, I understand that's Disney, but in my mind, he wasn't doing anything illegal. But at the end of the day, I'm sure when you sign with these companies, they say like
your
social media will, like, you can't do anything crazy on socials.
And well, they said, even simpler than that, do not partake in illicit activity.
Well, it's not illicit activity, drinking and smoking.
But like, it depends what state he's in. If he was smoking in Boston, I don't know what the rules are in Boston.
No, it's not because of that. So they said the reason they fired him was because he put the video up. Not because he was drinking and smoking, but if somebody took a video of him like out at a strip club and like he was doing whatever, they would have been like snuffing. But he actually decided to put the video up, and that's why he got fired.
It's actually really basic stuff, actually. Like, if you're working, even if you're working a normal job in the corporate world, if you're on like Twitter or social media and stuff, and you've got your corporate label on your account, like, you know what I mean? Like, most people would say, "Yo, the words on my Twitter account are words of like me and myself only, and they're not coming from the company I work for." Paul Pierce was out here on Instagram with ESPN on his Instagram bio, with strippers and with strippers and blackjack. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's actually very, very juvenile. That's why people crease him, because like, it's very poor piss. He's such an idiot. Remember when he left the game because he has to go take a shit?
I'm fully with him on that. I'm fully with him.
That's a bit unfair to his.
Do you remember that video, bro? Your man was out here, like, he got carried out of the arena.
If you're gonna shit your pants in front of like 30,000 people live and then millions of people watching, what would you do?
All right, realistically, if it's a healthy shit, you've got your compression shorts on, you're good to go. You got a little hot pocket for a couple minutes, then you figure it out. If you're not wearing your compression shorts and it's not gonna be such a healthy number, you got a problem.
Cal, you sound like you have a decent amount of experience with this. I know you're a bit mad, like taking shits in the park and stuff.
Oh, bro, there's nothing better than a, like, fucking leaning back against a tree. Just whoop.
Well, you never had to take a shit outdoors, Derek? Not once. Never. Never.
We go running, Derek. I'm talking to you leaning on a tree.
We're already talking about camp. Like, I think we've had this debate about camping already. I don't really fucks with camping like that.
Yeah.
Like, to avoid situations like this where I have to shit in a forest.
But you don't understand, fresh air is...
Nah, man, that's wild, bro.
It is. It literally is wild, yeah. But yeah, no, I fully understand a man needing a shit. So, yeah.
But yeah, I also
think the crazy thing is about, yeah, okay, you can talk about, like, whatever, not being available. You can't post such and such on Instagram or whatever. But I think the craziest thing is everyone needs to go to the toilet. Everyone needs a piss. Everyone needs a shit at some point in their day or something in their week.
Nothing made an important basketball game that's being, like, streamed across the line.
Bro, Beyonce, did they not all piss themselves while performing at one point?
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I think it was either Fergie or
Beyonce.
Hey, Cal, you've written, but don't go too far, because I felt that one in his soul. Is it Beyonce?
Queen B, kissing himself on stage. Nah, man. He's a clown, innit? And you know why it's funny? It's because he faked the injury to get off the court, innit? Like, yeah, man could have told the coach, like, yo, sub me out, take me out, yo, time out.
Lady Gaga and Fergie have both, like, been in the middle of a song and just pissed themselves on stage.
Yeah, I remember.
You know what the common denominator is, it? I'm not going to
say. Hey, Paul Pierce, that's the fucking start of the story. Ain't no common denominator there.
Paul Pierce should have known better.
Derek, have you ever been in, like, a long car journey and you've been like, oh, do you know what? That pasta from last night is just whoop.
You have a little shot.
I've never needed to shit that badly. I've always just made it. I've always, like...
It's because there's girls listening, he's trying to gas it.
No, I always just about make it. Sometimes there's been peak times where I've had to run, but, like, or a good trick, if you get on a bike, like, it, something about being in a bike position.
All you're saying, low-key, you're just shoving it back in there with a bike seat.
Kind of, maybe, but then whatever happens when you're on the bike seat, it goes away. The feeling seems to go away.
Oh, all I'm saying is shit is a shit. There's a point where there's no return.
I've never been in public when I've got to a point of no return.
Well, like, even a nasty night of drinking, you wake up, what, the first sniff of coffee you get, you fucking just have to. You've got 30 seconds to find the nearest fucking...
Waking up, where are you waking up when you're hungover?
No, all right, say boom, we're having a boys day, whatever, we're in the middle of nowhere, a couple beers, then we're waking up and we're like, all right, boys, let's go for a walk and grab a coffee.
But it's the first
thing. White in your hand and you make that thick black in your pants.
This boys' night in the middle of nowhere, first things first, you probably won't see me doing that. Secondly, like, why don't you...
You won't see me doing that.
Try to watch. Secondly, why not just go for a quick one before you leave? If you know that there's a little tickle, there's a little rumbling, potentially go quickly before.
Come on, Derek, bro, you're moving like you're too clean, bro. You've never had like an accidental shot before. You've gone to fart and like a little bit of poop comes out.
Like, this is a bit mad, but who hasn't? That's different to being caught in public and needing to like
shots are dangerous, you know.
So anyway, let's segue back to Paul Pierce. Fucking hell.
Paul Pierce needs to set up an OnlyFans.
Only farts.
Only farts. Oh no, I don't like talking about Paul Pierce that much anyway, man. I don't even like the guy.
Only fan. Paul Pierce.
The truth. Oh yeah, RIP Prince Phil. I hope you're over there mini rocking in hell.
What? How are you boys? Like, you guys are both English boys. Like, do you in any way feel connected to the royal family? Like, for me, being a Scottish guy, like, I've been raised and it's been there, but it's never really played a part in my life in any way at all, other than being on like one of my grandmother's mugs or some shit.
That's Team Diana, isn't it? That's early royal. And I write any of the rest, like, none of them, bro. Maybe Harry.
Everyone else is ops, yeah.
Everyone else is straight ops, bro. Man, I don't care for them. Especially Prince Philip. That guy was definitely racist.
I'm not like...
Without a shadow of a doubt, and I'm not having one. If you're born in 1921 to the royal family, you're telling me you're not racist?
No. He said like blatantly racist things like on a regular basis. It was like, oh, God, he's so funny.
And the BBC would always cover it up, bro. It was actually very weird. But yeah.
He would do a lot of racist things. But like, look, see, someone who's died at the end of the day, he's a human being. So, like, I feel bad for anyone that's connected to the guy. But when you see, so on our list of, so we, for anyone that's listening, we have like our topics on the side on the chat. And I saw Prince Phil. And first thing I thought was, wait, but Uncle Phil died like 5 years ago. What the hell? What are you thinking about?
No, I actually wrote that and I looked at it again just now and I thought,
the royal family Phil. That's how much it matters to me. Like the Phil, when I saw, I was like, Uncle Phil. So I
all in all, though, I think respect on him or.
Well, of course, look, I'm from a human person.
Obviously, like, condolences to his family and that, but exactly. As a person, I never rated Prince Philip. And he started going out of Queen Elizabeth when she was 13. So.
Madness.
Let's just say MR6 then listens to this. But I don't even live in England right now. I can say what I want.
You act like you're not going to have to go back. Defend the royal family. But the coverage has been, I didn't realize that the coverage would be so, like, intense. Like,
oh, it's royal family. Right now, just think, a couple of months, I guarantee you, your girl at some point has came up and said, oh, have you heard about the crown? Or some shit.
I know that, but like, Prince, I guess for me, like, if the Queen dies or like Prince Charles dies, like, of course, I'd understand. Like, if the Queen dies, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I think there'll be the generation of people that will be like devastated. And I understand why that would be a talking point globally. But I don't know. Prince Phil always seemed in the background to me. Like, I don't know anything he's done. I only know that.
He was the Duke of Edinburgh.
Okay, so it's his award. He's the reason why.
Effectively, we both have.
Duke of Edinburgh, remember that? Back in the day, he's going hikes.
Exactly. Run hikes for a pot noodle.
Do you have that coming?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. That's going to do with that, then yeah. But I get a feeling that it's just his name and he's not really done that much. But if that's something that's his project, then great. Then he has actually had something to do with my childhood. But
he's encouraged children to take shits outdoors.
Okay. You
know, I'm actually pretty annoyed, actually. No, he shouldn't have died. If he died when he turned 100, we would have got a bank holiday.
Well, no, we wouldn't have got shit, be honest.
I would have gone home.
You're gonna take a paid holiday to enjoy a bank holiday.
Yeah, man. But that's a shame. Obviously,
I'm loving how basketball oriented this episode is.
Yeah.
Switch it. Switch it. Back over to basketball.
Switch it up there.
Okay, so I don't really see a I don't really see a segue. Well, after talking about one old royal member of an organization, let's talk about another older member of an organization.
Go on.
CP3.
Shout out to CP3, bro. I was thinking about it the other day. Yo, Chris Paul, he comes like Gordon Ramsay in Kitchen Nightmares.
Have you seen that? Have you seen the clip where it's just like him mugging people off for like a minute straight?
Oh,
yeah, my god.
Greatest shithouser.
Shithouser, but also like he's going to come to your team and he's really going to fix it.
Guaranteed winning. Guaranteed winning. Okay, I get the glitch in
that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, it landed.
Oh, yeah, that guy's amazing, bro. Did you see him drinking that the secret stuff this week?
Nah. What?
Yeah, he's had his own bottle of Chris Paul's CP3 secret stuff. Secrets.
Ooh.
And he was sipping it on the bench.
He is a joker. To see what he's done with the Phoenix team, which basically was nowhere near the playoffs, but like they had a decent run in a bubble, but otherwise they were at best the average team, and they've only added him and what, Jay Crowder, and they're number two in the West, like number two in the league, full stop.
Sorry, can I just stop you there? I've just read through the side notes, and I've just read Nathan's comment of the reality of watching the NBA on the side of this specific option.
Sorry.
You actually wrote specific.
Oh man. apologies, please.
Oh man.
I mean, that's actually a nice segue.
Nah, bro. Is that what you've been writing in at work? Like,
yeah. Bro, please pray to God you send me and Derek your CV before you do any more edits.
Oh, he's sending an email. It's like, okay, can we have this meeting tomorrow at 9 p.m. specific time? Yeah, it's going to be at 9 p.m.
No, I mean, you're telling me you never said specific ocean?
No.
You're lying. Yo, no way. Really? Not even by accident.
I haven't said specific.
I have never seen that in my life before. That spelling mistake is great.
But CP3. Do you think Phoenix have a chance of winning? What do you think Phoenix's ceiling?
I'd say second round.
Get to the finals.
Honestly, they could get to the conference finals. Like, I really, 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 I said at the beginning of the season, actually, I really like the Devin Booker Chris Paul combination. I think it's really good. Like, I rate Devin Booker highly, actually. It was actually pretty funny. Oh, this is also going to be a nice segue. But did you see this list, the under 25s that you build a team around?
Yeah.
Did you see that, Cal?
Nope. Talk me through it.
Right. So earlier in last week, wait, give me a moment. Basically, ESPN released a list where they were like, okay, these are the under 20s. They ranked a whole bunch of under 25 players in the NBA that they would build a team around. So they're like, yo, these could be the most influential players in the league, give or take. And basically, it started off with the obvious, if you'd like to guess. Who would you put at number one?
I would put Luka.
Yeah, so it was obviously like...
What, he must be 23? How old is he?
21?
He's like 21, bro.
Wow, okay. I didn't have him that young in my head. But it's going to be your... Luca, Lamelo.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, we should give our, let's give our top 10. Let's give our top 10 and I'll read out this.
So I'd put Tatum in the top 5, personally.
Agreed.
I would put...
Karl Anthony Towns?
He's 27, no? I think 26, 27. How old's Jokic? Jokic is 26 now.
Jokic's going to be in the list. He's a grown man.
To be fair,
he's a grown ass man.
It depends on what you're looking, what you're asking for. Like, I think LaMelo wouldn't be higher than Jason Tatum for me, but he was what? Where was LaMelo in it all?
Wait, let me get the actual list. You mean like, we can talk about something else?
Just out of interest, how old's Lonzo Ball? Is he? He must be under 25 too, right?
Yeah, I don't know actually.
And Anthony Davis must be
27, 28.
27,
yeah.
Okay.
So, so I have the list. So you have Doncic 1, Zion 2, LaMelo 3, Donovan Mitchell 4, Jason Tatum 5.
And you don't
continue.
7. Devin Booker's 8.
Right. So I mean, you can actually keep going. Like Donovan Mitchell's even further down. Like there's bare guys in this list. Like, and they put LaMelo Ball at number 3.
Where's Tackle Box? Where's Tackle Box?
You just missed out, mate. Just missed out. Like, I think it was literally that they were looking at his stats and they was like,
under 25 but under 7'6" or some shit.
I think there might be an agenda. Like if you're above 7'5", then it's difficult for you to
get. I bet more balls not on it either.
Nah, see, nah. It's a thing. You should do some investigation into it, Carl.
Oh well, I'm gonna have a team of 7'5" plusers.
Yeah, I mean, who's 7'5" in the league?
I think he just means like plus 7'2", three slow, what? Like your, but what?
Tackle, okay, ball, ball, tackle fall.
James Wiseman.
Yeah.
Is ball, ball, 7'5"?
No, he's like 7.
He's 7.
He's like 7'1".
Something like that. And then I take a bunch of fresh boys. That Indian guy that has a movie about him, One in a Billion, just for the shits and giggles of it, the promotion. Then some, how tall is Serge Ibaka? Set? He must be breaching 7.
Serge Ibaka is like 6'10".
Okay, all right, cool. All right, so it was NBA best on 25 on the 25, ranking young superstars by potential. So it went Luka, Zion, LaMelo.
Well, I think LaMelo ranks well if it's by potential. I think he could go far.
Higher than Devin Booker.
Devin Booker's been in the league longer.
Oh, wait, is this even the list? Right, there were several lists in it.
Because in the sense of Devin Booker's been in the league longer, he's had more opportunity to show his potential, whereas LaMelo hasn't that much experience.
But, yeah, I know. So how do you put him at number 3? That's the big issue, isn't it? Like, how does LaMelo all of a sudden come into league at number 3 after half a season? Then he's injured when you've watched other guys in the same bracket.
Potential, you could be like, yo, this boy's shown up and shown out. What can he do in the future?
Right, Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum.
But they've been in the league, is my point. They've had a longer period of time where they've
I know, but why don't you just put LaMelo Ball first then?
Fair.
LaMelo's not even played like 40 games. Like, and he's not been, it's not like he's gone in and he's dominated every single game that he's been in as well.
Right. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not backing LaMelo, but I can understand with the quotation of most potential why he's in the top 3.
That's a bit, I don't know. I wouldn't use the potential thing because you'd like Nathan says, you can pick an 18-year-old and say, well, look, he's done all of this in like the, at high school. So he has the potential to do this in the NBA. It's like, yeah, but has he done it yet? I think Tatum's also showed up in playoffs as well.
Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, Ben Simmons. Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Shea, Brandon Ingram, Jaylen Brown, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Ja Morant, Trey Young.
Yeah, but I guess
it's a bonus. So they don't get the
league. They're not kind of seen what their seeding is probably going to be. So you probably know Ben Simmons. You know what his ceiling is going to be. Like he's not. He's going to be great in his lane, but he's not going to be an MVP. Well, you never know. But Ben Simmons is some way from being an MVP.
I don't understand that. Change the name of the list to most likely to be MVP. You know, in the future, Luka, 100% chance. Zion, I would say not so much. Who knows? He could completely come into the game and change it up. LaMelo, there's a chance. You see, if he learns to really be that key player, who knows? He has more time than anyone else on the list.
I think it's mad disrespectful to the likes of like Devin Booker. And do
you see Devin Booker getting an MVP?
I don't see LaMelo Ball getting an MVP.
But what my point is he has more time to prove why.
And I hear that, but at the same time, it's still a very, very, very hot take to me.
Yeah.
Like the hottest take, given like he hasn't really demonstrated it over a whole season. Whereas you've got guys here who have and have been like improving. Like Devin Booker has been getting better. De'Aaron Fox has been getting better. Donovan Mitchell has been getting better. Jason Tatum is getting better. Bam Adebayo getting better. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing in OKC by himself, basically.
But none of these names sound like MVP names.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Like, okay, like LaMelo Ball does. I mean, it's kind of, it's a sick name.
He's a sick name, but he's got like a hype behind him. Like LaMelo will do like something, and then I'll see Terry Rozier doing exactly the same thing. But then when LaMelo does it, it's like, oh my god, the talent behind him. What
look at Zion, LaMelo, the people's favorites from that list. You know,
probably the, with the most straight up hype.
Correct.
I'm not sure if they're the favorites because you've got Jason.
They will sell the most jerseys.
They're gonna sell the most jerseys, Charlotte. I don't know. I don't know if it's about jersey selling, but I think it's maybe coming down to like maybe a bit more hype because yeah, LaMelo Ball is probably one of the most hyped youngsters in the league. But in terms of like what he's demonstrated, I don't think he's ever demonstrated anything more than any of the other players in the list.
I agree.
We watched Donovan Mitchell and Fingy go head to head in the playoffs like just last year. And it was crazy. That was like an all-time great historical like series. Like, I don't know. Who do you start a team with? Who'd your go-to guy be? I mean, let's take Luka out because
he's the answer at the end of the day. Like I don't think we're gonna argue that.
But who else? I mean, taking Luka out, who do you have like as your go-to guy to build a team around in the league?
Zion.
I kind of agree with that. Zion has something that no one else has, whereas every other player is a great basketball player, but they don't have that animalistic athleticism that Zion does.
Like Zion can't shoot.
Zion is 20 years old, and you're saying he can't shoot. Remember his first three shots in the NBA were three-pointers.
I'm saying he can't shoot and that he's given up on taking three-point shots, basically.
And he's still shooting, like, hitting 30-plus points a game. Like, I think he got 7 or 8 rebound assists yesterday. Like, the guy is an absolute... You can't stop him. Like, if he runs at you, game over. Like, this, you just have to accept that he's going to get to the basket.
Like, but is he making a team around him better? Is that going to make winning basketball?
Right now, Zion is a member of a team. If you were to build a team around Zion... changes up the whole concept. You find him a point guard that's going to throw him lobs, get him the ball where he wants it. You find a shooting guard that he can ditch the ball out to because he knows the guy's going to be there. You know, you build the chemistry from him up, changes the whole concept.
But you can also do the same with, I mean, you've seen what happens when you build
it with everybody. You can do that with everybody. But to have the most successful, I would say it's going to be Zion. I agree with Eric on that, fully.
I mean, to be honest, like, yeah, I think Zion would probably be my go-to as well, simply because of, like, what he's achieved already. by the age of 20. But I still think it's the easy cop out.
Like, I would say, like, if you took Zion and Luka out of it, then it becomes a lot more of a conversation on like what your preference is and what you rank as potential. Because those two to me are like, friend, like, if they don't win an MVP, then something went wrong. Though,
Devin Booker was what, 21 or some shit when he drops that 70 plus game.
But Devin Booker hasn't done anything in the playoffs yet. I think that's why people aren't giving him the props that he maybe deserves.
He's only 24.
I'm not saying that he won't. No one's saying that the potential is not there for him to go crazy. I think Phoenix could do a decent job in the playoffs, but he hasn't done it yet. So I guess that's maybe where there's a bit of a ceiling on expectations on Devin Booker.
But what's the difference between Phoenix Suns that he's been playing on Pelicans that Zion is playing?
Well, Zion is hitting 30 plus a game at 20 years old.
And you're disrespecting Devin Booker? You're disrespecting Devin Booker. You're disrespecting Devin Booker, okay? Oh, don't disrespect the guy. Devin Booker is certified, bro. But absolutely certified. And he's only 24. He's been doing this for a minute, and the Suns have been absolute garbage. His best point guard for
that's the thing.
He's before CP3 was Ricky Rubio.
You're saying he's only 24, but you're comparing him to a 20-year-old. 4 years NBA experience is a fucking lifetime. Some players don't even make it 1 year in the NBA. And to make it at the highest of highs in the NBA is like a franchise player. 4 years is a mad long time.
Hey, Nathan, if you were the Phoenix Sun owner and someone came, if the Pelicans came to you and said, we'll trade Zion for you for Devin Booker.
I'm not sure they make that trade.
You wouldn't make that
trade. Hypothetical question.
You wouldn't make that trade.
I mean, if I'm in the...
Nathan, Wale.
Hey, I'm the owner of the Suns, and I've seen, like, yo, we've got our guy, Devin Booker, who's been here this whole time. He's putting up numbers. He's getting better. He's one of the best scorers in the league already. And he's a fan favorite. I'm not sure if that would be the easiest decision to make. Devin Booker... I feel like, yeah, okay, Zion is probably, like, at this moment in time, probably the player I'd probably build a team around over Devin Booker. But at the same time, I feel we're disrespecting him. But maybe we're framing the question incorrectly. Maybe we should frame it like, where should LaMelo Ball actually have ranked? Because, yeah, I mean, that Zion Williamson's meant to be this generational guy, so is Luka Doncic. Devin Booker probably doesn't have the outright athleticism to, like, or the touch of Luka to really kind of step into that conversation per se. But putting a melee ball over him is my disrespect.
It is a little bit. I think Jason Tatum, when everybody was excited last year after the All-Star break when he went crazy and people were like, oh, he's the next Kobe. And then you put LaMelo after 30 games above him. I think it's a bit harsh, and Jason Tatum's taking his team to two conference finals.
Bam Adebayo went to the NBA finals just now.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did bits.
Rookie year went to the conference finals as the Celtics' best player. So like, it's a bit harsh to say like LaMelo is going to be better than him after like we've seen other stuff. But you know how
LaMelo probably wouldn't be top 10 for me, if I'm being real.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I disagree with that because of what the list is. Potential.
These guys are all, I mean, players reach their prime. 26, 27, 28.
Where's LaMelo Ball how many years versus Devin Booker?
So he's got a lot more time to like reach his prime, but LaMelo Ball still hasn't reached anywhere near Devin Booker's level.
And he's got 4 years to do so.
Yeah. But we don't know if he's going to... We don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Like, he could get injured. You know what I mean? Like, he could decide, yo, like, Donald Trump is more important. Like, you know what I mean? Like, his dad could pull him out of the league and send him out back to Latvia. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But Devin Booker is still a youth. He hasn't actually reached his basketball or athletic prime, in my opinion. So I feel it's a bit disrespectful. Like, put Devin Booker on a better team, like a LeBron or something. Yeah.
But after that situation, you put Devin Booker on a team with LeBron.
Or put Devin... I mean,
But then I'm like, who's Devin Booker? You know what I mean? It's LeBron's team.
Devin Booker's... You're disrespecting Devin Booker, bro.
All I'm saying is give me a date, time, and Devin Booker on the court. We'll have a game.
I mean, it's not even just Devin Booker. Like, I still think Ben Simmons still has a lot of potential in this game. So does De'Aaron Fox. So does Jason Tatum. So does Donovan Mitchell. So does Bam. Shea is fucking amazing. I love watching that guy. Like, there's a lot of people I haven't even mentioned. Jamal Murray still got like levels to reach. Like,
yep. What about John Morant? John Morant's on the list.
John Morant's there, bro. Like, rookie of the year.
Exactly.
He's actually the running rookie of the year right now. Disrespect is actually.
LaMelo might not even win rookie of the year this year as well.
He probably won't. My guy, Anthony Edwards, is there.
Once again, is Anthony Edwards on the list?
Yeah, a lot further down, kind of understandably, because LaMelo Ball's a better basketball player. Like, I'm not sure if he should have even made the list, really, in 100. But, you know, it's what it is. Should we segue on to the man of his new girlfriend?
Rumors. Allegedly.
All right. Yo, you guys are men of the flesh, innit? So, like, at least I know Derek, isn't it? Like, Callum seems to be a fairly reasonable guy. Derek, where does Tiana Trump come in your GOAT list? In your top 10?
Your GOAT list, the throat goat. She's the throat goat.
I know. What do you feel about like athletes actually? Like, let's move away from her actually.
What do you think? I think people are people. You know what I mean? Regardless if you're working in a gas station or you're a multi-million-dollar basketball player or you're involved in the adult industry, a person's a person. And, like, separate from all of that, if two people are right for each other deep down, then it is what it is, you know? But, yeah, back to Derek's opinion on the throat goat.
No. my opinion of Tiana Trump is completely separate to my opinion on her dating LaMelo Ball. If he is dating her, fair play to the guy. He's a young kid. Let him enjoy his life, man. Like,
he's a baby boy.
To enjoy it. And at the end of the day, if he decides to like make it, if it's a serious thing, then that's his relationship, isn't it? Like, obviously, other people may have judge it in a certain type of way, but he's the one that's going to have to live in the relationship. So. Fair play to the young kid, but when I see a 19-year-old dating a porn star,
what's your
dream? Making it to the NBA, being seen as one of the rookies of the year, and then your favorite porn star is giving it up to you for free. Like, my God, what a year!
Free anyway, man. Maybe not for free.
Sorry. Exactly, we don't know.
Maybe not for free.
But you're getting love from a porn star. I'm sure that she's been a part of his mental masturbation bank for the past like 5 years or whatever, and now it's a dream becoming reality. So fair play to the dude.
I hope it's not true. I feel like this can be a distraction. I've seen like plenty of players like kind of get together with someone and like. I know the Kardashians, for example.
Yeah, the Kardashians. You know what I mean? I'll touch on that.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these athletes, they're not quite the same after whatever goes on there, you know what I mean? Like, it becomes a whole kind of drama. Everyone finds out about it. Everyone keeps talking about it. I don't know. Some players fall off. Blake Griffin is dating Thingy for a bit, and he went to crap.
But this has been a rookie, like, he's been a reality TV star since he was like 11. So this fame and like people watching him and all that stuff.
Why can't he just get him a Aisha Curry? You know what I mean? Let's get himself a nice, wholesome family girl. You know what I mean?
You don't want your fight. Like, he might find a Aisha Curry at 25, man. Let the guy do his thing, like live his life. And then, yeah, if he decides that he wants their wife, your porn star, fine. But at 19,
I like the way you say let the guy do his thing, like I'm actually affecting his life. Like, I have no input here. I'm just gossiping. We don't even know if it's real.
But like, when you were 19, who did you want to date?
I got a girlfriend, innit? I want to date her. She's my favorite porn star.
Have you seen that TikTok videos where it's like, regardless.
Nathan, when did your girlfriend start watching listen to the podcast then?
She hasn't, but in the off chance. I mean, we can move on from the Mellow Balls Love Life anyway.
Yeah, thank you. So
Can
we talk about some basketball? Because I actually watched the Lakers yesterday against the Nets. Yeah, the Lakers.
You think this is a basketball podcast or something? Like, you keep on talking about basketball.
No, I know. Yeah,
man. I want to talk about Kroger.
Oh man,
Lakers though. Did you see the Marcus Aldridge?
But I watched it in. I think that the Lakers look decent, man. Considering that they have nobody, they had an intruder after having like a ridiculously good first half, had to get ejected because
he called Kyrie Irving a nigger.
Dennis Schroeder, by the way, is black, so
he's also German.
Yo, he's black, but he's also German. If anyone ever calls me a nigger in a German accent, I'm gonna think about it twice. I'm sorry, I'm gonna be like, yo, wait.
Nah. he said it in a way of what you mean, nigger? Like that was a.
I'm not sure if the league respects Dennis Schroeder. And not in that way, you know what I mean? Did you see him like last week against who was it? Was it the Raptors? Where they had like this big beat. Yeah. Did you see him get lifted?
Yeah.
You know, I see that yellow stripe in the side of his head. It was like horizontal, bro. He come like a sunset. It was mad. I don't think he's getting bullied still.
Yeah. I think Kyrie was a bit sensitive there, man. It doesn't look like there was. He was. What did he say? Like, shouldn't? Why you? Like, you? I don't know you like that. Don't call me nigger. Like,
fair enough.
But come on, you know that this is a colloquial. You know that this is a colloquial.
No, man, I don't call people anyway. I don't know by the N word. I just said the N word. I just said nigger, innit?
Yeah, you've been saying nigger like the whole podcast. Yeah. Let me say the N word now. And now we're going to an area that we shouldn't be going into, talking about throat goats and shitting in the forest. That's the line. This is the line that you decided to not cross.
Yeah, like, with the German accent, that A becomes a hard R. And becomes...
That's got to be the title of the video, throat goats and shitting in the forest.
But
at the same time, do you think they should have got ejected for that? Because...
Nah, definitely not.
Ask yourself, how many times would J.R. Smith get ejected then?
Oh, anyone, like all the premier trash talkers in the league, like Draymond Green should get ejected. The league's a bit weird right now. The refs are moving a bit mad. Like every week, I feel like someone's getting kicked out of games. Like the other day, both DeMarcus twins got kicked out on the same night. It's a bit weird. The league in general actually is a bit weird to me. Like the refs are being annoying. Everyone's injured. There's no defense being played whatsoever, except for a few teams, actually, like the Lakers. You play really, 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 really good defense.
Like, that was the thing I noticed most yesterday was man-to-man defense, you can't beat them. Like, every single person's fighting over screens, trying to stay in front of their men. Like, it's as soon as you pass the ball, next person up, like, their rotations are always tight. If they get LeBron and AD back and they're playing with this intensity, because their B team is doing okay. I think they're something like 5 for 11. I
mean, five and six,
yeah. So for your B team to be doing that with no LeBron, no AD, no Kuzma, and Schroeder for the last half of the game, bro, I think they're in a decent little spot.
I feel that's a big question about the Nets as well, because you see what Andre Drummond is doing to certain guys, yeah?
Andre Drummond was in the market. Oh my god!
You put Drummond and Anthony Davis on that team against the Nets, it gets very peak. Like they're gonna come like Wilt and Wilt and Kareem, basically.
But then remember, this was against LaMarcus Aldridge. It wasn't.
Yeah, that's who's going to be in the game. Who else they got?
No, but like LaMarcus Aldridge isn't exactly a.
But who else have they got? That's the question.
That's true. I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Are they going to get like who's the guy? The dreads again?
Claxton. Hey, don't hate on Claxton. Claxton's a. Oh, you mean Jordan?
No, yeah, DeAndre Jordan. Is that?
DeAndre Jordan not getting minutes because of Claxton. Rookie basically took his spot, so.
Yeah, so that guy's finished. I'm not sure Claxton's really wants to, Andre Drummond.
Claxton's not there yet.
Kyrie obviously doesn't. I don't know.
He wants to play in the post. Kyrie said he wants to play in the post from now on. James Harden's a good post defender as well. You never know.
Against LeBron, Drummond, and, and AD. I know Lakers got a big team. That's like one thing they've had going for them in the past couple of seasons. They always kind of stack up in size, strength, and athleticism, and they can play defense. Not a lot of teams in the league can play defense. Like I don't know if you saw like the score lines from the games yesterday, but I think the smallest differential in score yesterday was 15 points.
But if you look at it, like I think the Lakers said they've had 8 practices this season. And that's a team that's the champions. So I guess they have an identity and they know how they want to play. But other teams, you're barely getting a chance to practice. Practice for them is like walkthroughs. So it's hard for you to train for like schemes and get all these things on point. You're kind of training in game. So I can see why it's happening. But yeah.
I mean, the league is obviously skewed towards like attacking and scoring now, like massively. Like, really, in a big way, like everyone's shooting threes, less people playing defense because at the end of the day, it seems like a good attack trumps a good defense.
I think you have to look at past season in a bit of a bubble because it's not normal. Like, if defense is one thing that you can't just make up on the fly, you have to train, it's a team thing. Everybody needs to be defense is. Is schemes that you have to like all be in sync for, because if one person doesn't know where they need to be, then the whole doesn't matter what you've been doing for the first 23 seconds, that last second that you could have an open shot. So I think if you take away, whereas with attacking, if you go out and you're an individual superstar, you can create your shot out of nothing. You don't need that much training around it. So I think that's probably where you're seeing it.
No, I disagree. I feel like since Steph Curry kind of blew up, then the league has changed. We were talking about it a little bit the other day, actually. Remember when we were discussing this Kyrie Irving dribble? We were like, is it a carry or is it a travel? And actually, yeah. It was neither because you got the bucket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, rule changes.
Definitely. You
know what I mean? Of course. Changes, they're skewed to, like, be more preferential towards guys who are scorers. Ever since Steph Curry kind of blew up the league at the three-point scoring, everything has kind of changed. Like, I feel like we have been getting a lot more higher scoring games over the last three, four years. A lot more.
There's two things, right? This year, I think there's the lack of defense and the lack of crowd as well. It means that sometimes, like, if you're losing, if you don't have the crowd behind you and you're losing by, like, 15, you might just be like, you know what, fuck it, we're going to lose anyway. And whereas if the crowd's there, you're like, well, we have to at least play for some pride. So I guess that I think that may play a part in things. But then, of course, yes, that does add it to what's happened over the years in terms of like it being super difficult to defend, teams changing their tactics so that it's either you shoot or go for a layup. Like, of course, yeah, like it is skewing that way. But this season, I think it's just a little bit more because of the situation that they're in where they can't actually train together. And there's no problem.
I really think coaches just don't want to coach defense. A lot of them, like, if you want to be good at being the defensive team, like, there are good defensive teams in the league. Look at the Knicks. Knicks are one of the best defensive teams in the league. You watch them, and they're literally all over you, bruv. All their men are octopuses. They won't let you have an easy possession. Look at the Lakers. These guys, they lost their best defender last year, Avery Bradley. But they have a structure in place to, like, yo, we know how to defend as a team. And, like, we want to defend. A lot of teams out here don't want to defend. Like, there are really good defensive teams in the league and they're really good defensive players. Oklahoma City as well. You watch Oklahoma, Lou Dort, yeah?
I don't believe that.
I don't want to play against him.
I don't believe that there's, of course, there's players that are high level defenders and there's players that are high level that
there's also more, teams and structures that enable it.
Of course, but then that's the same as anything. There's going to be teams that focus more on attacking. There are going to be teams that focus more on defending.
Exactly. And I'm saying the league is a lot more skewed towards attacking right now. That's the point. I'm saying, like, yeah, I mean, if you really want to teach a team to defend and have that intensity and, like, yo, get into it, be in this place, get your switches on point. Yo, teams are doing that. Most teams aren't, though. You know, that's my main point. Most teams are, like, prioritizing the scoring, which is a lot easier, to be honest, because at the end of the day, yeah, we do have a lot of players in the league who was averaging 25 points. A lot of players, bro. I mean, this isn't normal. Like, 25, 26 points used to get you, like, top scorer. You know what I mean? Like, you used to get, like, the highest points. And it used to be, like, 26, 27. And then, yeah, obviously there were outliers, but that was the average. Now everyone in the league is almost averaging, like, 25. Not everyone, obviously, but you know what I'm saying? There's a lot more.
Of course, the rule changes have had a big part to play on that because, you have to defend in a different way. Like, even when you're defending someone at a free point, you have to, that whole thing of you need to move out of their landing space, like how much physical contact that they allow, because you can essentially buy fouls now. If you go into, how many times does James Harden, Trae Young, Luka Doncic essentially just buy points, right? So, of course, yeah, there have been rule changes. And it will take time for teams to understand how to defend these properly. But I also think that this year is a weird year, man. This year is just a weird year to judge anything properly. Like, it's so out of the normal, it's so out of the schedule. Like,
but it's on trend. That's the point. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're in, it's a different situation, but it's on trend. Like, there's been more points scored per game.
I'm not saying
5 years, and it's going up on
the night. Isn't that what the NBA wants?
Yeah, I mean,
more points is more entertainment.
More points is more entertainment, but, like, I don't know. So does it make for better basketball?
That's an opinion. It allows for us to see a lot more from offensive players than maybe.
Yeah, more. But then as a fan, you got to watch your team suddenly risk randomly getting blown out by. Now, how many teams have been blown out this year, actually? Everyone is getting smacked around on the bad team. How are the Nets losing by 25 points at Lakers? You know what I mean? I just said they're a defensive team.
That was straight up effort. That was straight up. The Nets just, as soon as Kyrie was gone, the Nets were just like, fuck it, we're done.
Like, Kyrie's not even your main defender, though. He's not even, like, go-to guy in the defense. So, you know what I mean? It's very weird. KD was playing.
Not the whole time, though. He was still on the minutes of season.
Man was dead. But I don't know. I mean, again, that's for Mark Stein. It's Mark Stein, isn't it? Is it Mark Stein?
Who?
The NBA commissioner.
David
Stern.
Adam Silver.
So, yeah.
Who's David Stern, then?
David Stern was the last one.
Previous one, yeah.
Yeah, Adam Silver is the tall, very... face, man.
I got looking like an elf. that's a personal concern of mine. I've always been like, I want to see tight games. I want to see more competition.
Also, remember, bro, it's a regular season. Playoff time.
It is. And because it's a regular season, I also feel like you kind of have an idea of the better defensive teams. I feel they're going to do a bit better in the offseason. In the postseason, sorry.
I guess to maybe wrap this up, the one thing that people will see, there's the one thing that people are going to look at with the Brooklyn Nets is if they can win a title, because they have like the 23rd ranked defense, but then they're like top five in offense, and usually no team below 10, top 10 in defense wins the title. So if they're able to win the title off of just pure attack, of course they're like all MVPs, so it's also a bit of an anomaly. But if they're able to do that, I think that'll be like a big mark that, okay, defense isn't as important in the NBA as it used to be.
Defense isn't as important, can you rate the attacking players the same way? Come on.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean? If players aren't defending, can you say, oh, this guy is so good because he's scoring so many points? But Dons aren't defending. So doesn't that bring down the credibility of all the greatest scorers in the league? That's what I'm saying. The scoring average is coming up. You've got all sorts of guys averaging 25 points. But they're only doing this because guys aren't defending. So what does this mean to them? You know what I mean? Like, that's the question.
Firstly, if the trend continues in the playoffs, then it's different, right? We'll see who can actually attack, right? Because in the playoffs, you'll have the defenses which are structured towards closing down your strengths. And you'll see how, like, what happens when everybody's locked in, if you can still do the same things. So I guess that will maybe change things. And then also, if everybody's scoring averages goes up, then that's, you're comparing everybody to the people that they're around. So if my scoring average is 30 now because of defenses don't defend me, and your scoring average is 22, well, I'm better than you because I'm scoring 30 and you score 22 in these defenses. If we're saying we're comparing it to another generation, then of course maybe we need to think twice about it. But like, if you're comparing it to our current generation, well, everybody's playing in the same, against the same defenses.
I mean, coming up, people respect Michael Jordan, and the reason people always going on that Michael Jordan is to go is because he was doing the madness against some of the toughest defenses in league history. You know what I mean? This is why kind of guys kind of like always sometimes put a little asterisk next to LeBron or the Hardens or whatever, because really, if people aren't defending, then you're stat padding until you win. No, I mean, it's effectively stat padding to me.
Well,
I mean, yeah, you're a great scorer, but like, these numbers are clearly inflated.
Let's see, man. I guess it's a trend that the NBA wants, but as with most law changes, what happens is people start to manipulate it and take advantage of it, and then other people start to realize, okay, this is how we can work around it. And things just constantly always change. It's just, I don't think it's a massive worry. I don't think that there's like, okay, the NBA needs to have a massive look at what they're doing. They want more points. There's more points. Defenses will learn how to work around this. And then for you to be an elite defender beforehand, you need to just be big and strong. Now you need to have you need to understand how to not foul. You need to how to put your hands in the right places. Like, you just
in mind, the game is already skewed against defenders on a basic level, in my opinion. But as a defender, you're always more reactionary.
You're skewed against this type of defenders, though.
Sorry?
It's skewed against this version of defenders. There'll be a new version of defenders that come out who are a lot more agile, who defend in a different way, and who are able to defend the free and also defend in the paint as well. You'll see, like, people start to, like, just in the way that you have more people who shoot, you'll have people who understand how to defend this type of attack.
It's just, I know, man. It's been this way for a bit. Like, people have been trying to work out how to guard these, like, Steph Curry types for ages. Some guys are just straight up unguardable. If you've got the attacking talent, and you're always going to have an advantage, because as a defender, you have to react after. It's just how basketball works. You're reacting to the guy attacking you on a basic level. Yeah, I mean, you've got all the schemes and the rules that kind of like change things. But at the end of the day, you've got Kyrie Irving in front of you. You're reacting. You know what I mean? At a basic level, scorers and attackers always kind of, they always have a slight advantage. I mean, what do you think, Callum? I mean, he's leaving.
Yeah, you can. I
mean, I feel like, yeah, you always have a slight advantage as an attacker. If you're a generational attacker, it's a bit easier for you compared to being
100%. If you go into a league where there's already a structure set and you fit into the structure, you'll do your role. If you go into the league where there's a structure set and you can do something legal out with that structure, be that Zion type thing where you're a big fuck-off guy but you can bully bigger guys, or be that a Steph Curry, as you gave the example of, you can outshoot anyone in the league, then you are going to cause some disruptiveness and defenses are going to have to change. Maybe the fact is that the league has been too structured for too long, and that way everyone's learned how to play around defense, so the defense is lacking. So who knows what will change it in the future, or what will update it so that it does become more competitive. But it's like the All-Star game was, they stopped the All-Star game, or they changed the incentives of it because people weren't defending, it wasn't entertaining anymore. So there definitely has to be some level of defense.
I feel like the defense is part of basketball, and I feel like the league has to like address it in it.
So Nathan, what's up with your defense? I don't remember you playing any.
Obviously, man's not an NBA level, isn't it? We're talking about the NBA. But yo, you want to go one on one again? We can do this, bro. We can have like a little tournament. Derek, you as well. You're also welcome. You can.
Yeah, but no, Derek's got to come on a run with me first.
We can do a young king of the hill.
down. But yeah, were there any other areas that you guys wanted to take a look at?
Sacramento got 39 points in the first half to support my point.
And then didn't do anything in the second half.
Yeah, to support my point.
Yeah, but then he did nothing in the second half, so then the defense worked him out.
But you feel like watching Trae Young sometimes being like, yo, they're actually like, Trae Young's not a good three-point shooter. I actually see some of his score lines and I'm like,
He's not.
Are people actually paying attention to this guy? How is he getting so many points if he's not even banging threes like that? My guy got 42 the other day on 1-3. I'm like,
he's a pick and roll fiend.
It's mad thing, bro.
Pushing a pick and roll and then he just uses that floater, guaranteed all gets to the line, guaranteed buckets.
How do you not scheme for that?
I'm sure. Well, let's see in the playoffs. If they get to the playoffs, I guarantee you they'll scheme for him.
Yeah, he's going to be finished in the playoffs. He'd be finished, but I don't know. I like the Atlanta Hawks, innit? So
same. I'm hoping they do well, but yeah. But yeah, who wants to sign off, Callum? I think it's your time to sign off because...
Yeah, Callum, you were hosting today, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, we don't want no Joe Budden.
It is. All right. Thanks. Oh, no, I need my food. I'm hungry. Then I'll have my energy back. Okay. Then I'll go for a run, find a tree, take a shit, you know? So I hope everyone gets the opportunity to get out in the wilderness to feel as free as they want to be, whether that be like Derek and never really experiencing it, or whether they be Nathan, Paul Pierce, and myself, and they let it go when they gotta go. So yeah, for me, I'm out. Enjoy.